are listening to Radio Rhino International Africa.
Hello, you are listening to Radio Rhino International Africa.
This is your voice for freedom and democracy.
Hello, that's your frequency. You are listening to Radio Rhino International Africa.
This is Radio Rhino International Africa. This is your voice for freedom. It is your symbol for the future. It is your symbol of hope. This is Radio Rhino International Africa. This is your voice for freedom. It is your voice for liberty.
Hello, you are on the right way. You are listening to Radio Rhino International Africa.
You are listening to Radio Rhino International Africa.
Hello, dear listeners. I am Sophie. Today is the 24th of February. We present to you today telephone interviews with Father Ayele and Vicar Achu, who spoke to us about the massacre in Balonyo, north of Lira town.
Radio I Know, International Africa News.
Lira, northern Uganda. Balonyo, north of Lira. 220 internally displaced refugees were massacred at Balonyo IDP camp last Saturday, 10 kilometers away from Abia IDP camp, the scene of previous massacre where 90 persons were en masse killed. Lira, northern Uganda. The politicians, elders, religious leaders and the people of Lango meeting in Lira yesterday declared a week of mourning in memory of the victims of the massacre in Balonyo and a day of prayer on the scene of the atrocity with the closing of all businesses. The assembly established that from yesterday to March 1st, a week of mourning will be observed in memory of the victims and a sort of prayer pilgrimage will be organized on the scene of the massacre. The meeting was also marked by moments of tension, particularly for the presence of the military officers. The people, in fact, attribute serious responsibilities to the Ugandan soldiers for the lack of protection for civilians. The Lira Assembly wants the government of Kampala to call for international help in defeating the rebels of North Uganda. Lira, Northern Uganda. Speaking to Radio Rhino International Africa this morning, an intelligence source doubted the LRA as responsible for the Balonyo massacre. He blamed the massacre on government counterinsurgency mobile forces operating from Golgoy, whose activities were fully coordinated by Colonel Mulinva and Colonel Otema Avani. Since then, Dictator Museveni has announced he is sending Colonel Mulinva for further studies. Gulu, Northern Uganda. In solidarity with the bereaved people of Lango, members of the Acholi Religious Leaders Peace Initiative expressed their condemnation of the massacres in Lango. The religious leaders said, "We, the religious leaders of Acholi, wish to express our strongest condemnation of the recent massacre. We stand for human life and feel horrified to see how this God-given sacred gift can be treated with such contempt. We tell the ones who are killing our people, in the name of God, Stop killing the innocent ones. Stop it at once. We have no words to express to the people of Lira who are suffering so much our most sincere condolences. We pray for you. We understand your deep sorrow because we ourselves in Acholi have seen our sons and daughters being killed for the last 18 years. In front of the temptation of discouragement, we get our strength from the Lord, who tells us to continue working for peace. We renew our commitment to go on looking for ways to end this war by peaceful means. At the same time, we cannot fail to mention that our people have a right to be protected by their government and by the international community. This recent tragedy is calling for a greater international commitment to protect the lives of the innocent people who are dying in hundreds in northern Uganda. This must be done immediately if innocent lives are to be saved. The statement is signed by John Baptist Odama, Archbishop of Gulu, and Chairman of ARLPI, Maglord Baker Ochola, a Kamboni missionary, Father Sebat Ayele, secretary and spokesman of the Lango Religious Leaders Forum, who was the first to reach the scene of the Balonyo massacre, says, "We are abandoned by the international community. We feel betrayed and ignored. The people are desperate. They have forgotten us. It is as if we no longer belong to humanity," said Father Sebat Ayele, who along with the other missionaries in North Uganda have for years been attempting to bring the attention of the international community to a conflict that is claiming tens of thousands of innocent victims. New York, United Nations. Reacting to the Balonyo massacre north of Lira in northern Uganda, the UN Secretary General Kofi Annan issued a statement calling the killing spree a senseless massacre and appealed to all those at the national and international level who are in a position to stop the terrible cycle of violence in northern Uganda to do their utmost to protect innocent civilians. Den Haag, Netherlands. The Chief Prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, Luis Moreno Ocampo, announced an inquiry will be carried out on the Balonyo massacre in Lira, northern Uganda. The Chief Prosecutor of the International Court of The Hague, the first international permanent tribunal with jurisdiction on human rights violations that regard genocide, crimes of war and against humanity. Moreno Ocampo declared that he intends to open an inquiry. These crimes, reads the statement of the Hague prosecution, are the worst committed since 1995, when 240 people were killed in Achak, north of Lira. Saturday's massacre may fall under the jurisdiction of the court, which among its objectives has that of ending the impunity for these crimes. The prosecutor office, continues the statement, will take the necessary measures to ensure that the crimes committed in Balonyo will be investigated and those with major responsibility will be tried. The inquiry will be conducted in an independent and impartial manner, giving total importance to the interests of the victims. In the past weeks, Moreno Ocampo met with representatives of the Uganda NGOs and local traditional leaders, whom expressed concerns over the fact that the rebels are mainly child soldiers taken from their families and forcibly trained by the rebellion. Kampala, Uganda. President of Uganda dictator Museveni has recalled the commander of the Army's 403 Brigade following the Saturday massacre in Lira of scores of civilians. "I have transferred the commander of the 403 Brigade, Lieutenant Colonel Mulindwa, who was responsible for the area, to headquarters for further training," Museveni said in a statement issued last evening. By yesterday evening, Lira Hospital Superintendent Acheng Ochero said 8 more victims of the raid had died at the hospital. Local sources said that 6 other people in Balonyo had been killed by a landmine. Meanwhile, the LRA rebels yesterday denied responsibility for the massacre. Speaking on BBC's Focus on Africa program last evening, a man calling himself Brigadier Sam Kolo of the LRA said they did not attack the camp. The massacre has since attracted local and international condemnation.
Hello, you are listening to Radio Rhino International Africa.
Hello? Yes, good evening, Father Yele.
Good evening, yeah.
Yes, God recalling you this time, though late.
What the hell is it?
Oh, fine. I should say fine, but it's really very difficult to take in the news coming from home now.
Yeah. How is Cologne?
Cologne is okay. It's very cold and windy today.
Okay. Now here we are suffering very well.
Yeah, I've seen that on the BBC News, and that is why I called you. At least to try to follow up on what has exactly happened according to what you have learned.
Yeah, so last night these people, they went to Barlogne.
Yeah.
It is 26 kilometers from Lira, northeast of Lira.
Yes.
They were, strangely enough, they were put in a camp deep in the bush from the main road from Ogur. You know Ogur, eh?
Yeah.
From Ogur center, 9 kilometers, this very bad road. No, they were there about 4,700 IDPs, and then at 5 o'clock the rebels they launched from far some bombs, and then there were only 36 militia. Can you tell me, only 36 militia? This Amoga.
Yeah.
And then the Amoga, they realized, and then they told the people to take cover. But then they were misunderstanding. People, instead of running opposite side, they just hid themselves inside the huts.
Oh, no.
That's when now, what I saw this morning is beyond any human imagination. It's terrible tragedy. I reached there at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Still human beings burning inside the huts. In one hut I found 7 bodies still burning.
No.
In another hut I found 3 bodies burning. And all over the camp, dead bodies. Dead bodies. I counted 121.
Mm.
And then about 51 were already buried. Out of this, which means the total number, which I confirm, is 172,
oh,
23.
Sorry.
Now, other reports just coming in now is that beyond, after the camp, in near a protected well, there were other dead bodies, which means now, we are talking now, more than 200 people are killed.
Yeah, I understand.
I can't understand. I mean, what I have been telling this international news agency today is, this is a clear consequence of the negligence of the international community.
Yeah.
They're just looking from the windows as if these are flies, not human beings.
Mm.
We can't continue like that.
No.
This is incredible. I mean, what I saw today, dead bodies. I saw the intestine out, burning.
Mm.
This is a human being. You can't recognize with your, when they are human beings. They look like, all like carbon.
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm shocked. I don't know even why God is allowing such kind of things. We are shocked. We are shocked beyond any repair.
Yes.
We feel helpless. We feel betrayed. We feel frustrated, anger.
Yeah.
This is too much now. It's too much.
Well, there were no UPDF soldiers at Barlogne camp.
No. By the time they attacked, they were not there.
Yeah, but they have been posted there before.
Well, with this confusion, we cannot verify exactly.
Mm.
What we know is they were not there.
Yeah.
But when they attacked. But after reached there, and
yeah.
And then this morning when I was going, I met another lorry. Myself, I brought.
Yeah. I'm informed by somebody that Museveni is there now in Lango since yesterday.
Yeah, that's what we are hearing.
Yeah.
It's been official. It seems he came late. I don't think he came because of the incident. He came. Because he had to come, it seems.
Yeah. Well, Father Yele, I'm very sorry for what is happening there.
Really, we are shocked. And then our people are suffering.
Yeah.
And we belong to nobody.
No.
Belong to nobody.
No.
Nobody to nobody. Yeah.
Well, I will talk to you tomorrow, Father.
Okay,
Godfrey,
okay,
apoyo. Yeah, you take care, no?
All right, okay. Thank you very much.
Hello, you are listening to Radio Rhino International Africa.
Victor Chu, this is Godfrey calling you from Radio Rhino International Africa. First and foremost, I would like to convey to you my condolences to the entire community.
We are in great agony, it is really true. Thank you very much for your condolences.
Yeah. So I spoke yesterday with Father Yele.
Okay.
On the same issue.
Yeah.
And I've learned that you people were having a meeting today of politicians, religious leaders, and the elders.
Definitely.
So I'm interested to know from you what exactly happened today at the meeting.
It was a very long meeting that began from around 10:30 in the morning up to nearly 5 p.m. And the people were extremely bitter and very emotional. In fact, people almost lost means of expression, because what really happened is absolutely absurd and extremely sad and incomprehensible. And people seem to be totally lost. They do not know who to express their grievance to. So the resolution of the entire Lang community was that so far up to this point, there has been completely no serious government concern, and the issue has been completely overlooked. The scene at which people were massacred at Ogu did not really have any military defense. The local militia that were recruited a few months ago was completely ill-trained, not capable of matching such a force that has been fighting for the last 18 years. Besides that, they were very poorly armed. So it is incomprehensible that there was really no serious defense force at a very insecure place with so many helpless civilians whose whole food stock was put in the same place which was destroyed and burnt down. So the concern of the people is that all the defense capacity of this nation should be deployed in this area, which is obviously very insecure at the moment. But also, it is getting clearer that there is a lot of cooperation, or rather conspiracy, some work that some men in the UPDF is working together with the LRA to destroy people, because the very same uniforms which the UPDF and the Muka, the militia, are wearing is already being used by the LRA forces, giving the impression that the source is the same. There are officers in the army who are certainly using this group to achieve some of their objectives. Are you still with me?
Yes, I'm following Pikachu.
That's right. So, honestly, it leaves people so speechless and so puzzled and so confused, because there is really evidence to prove that there is linking between the people in UPDF and LRA. Now, unfortunately, in our meeting, the top commander of the UPDF also came, Major Runa, and he admits to the community that this is terrorism, calling it a terrorist. But we also wonder why, if government of Uganda recognizes that calling it a terrorist, why shouldn't the government of Uganda call for international intervention? Because certainly it is very true, it is very obvious that it is beyond the capacity of the Ugandan government to stop this kind of massacre and killing. If it is true that the whole world is a global family, it keeps us so puzzled why the whole world should watch while our people are being destroyed, when we are actually going to extinct. Where is the international community? What is the United Nations for? Where is the African Council? What are really they for? I mean, our people are desperate. They are so helpless. The situation is haphazard. It is hopeless. There is hopelessness. We don't know for sure where we are heading to. Because up to now, we are not certain that the Ugandan government, which recognizes the home here, that coin is a terrorist, and made effort to seek for help at the international level. The weapons that were used to destroy people at these camps were very heavy weapons.
Vigachur, I did speak to some people there at home, And they gave me the impression that there were UPDF soldiers at Barlogne before, who apparently left the camp prior to the attack at Barlogne camp.
That's right.
About how many UPDF soldiers were said to have been deployed there before, and why did they leave? And we are told that one of the commandants of Amuka, who happens to be a second lieutenant from Western Uganda, was captured by the attackers and then stripped of his military uniform and set free to go back to Lira.
That's right.
And what is your interpretation?
Well, my interpretation of this situation is that it is kind of trickery. Whenever an area is going to be attacked, there is always that response from the local community to report. But usually the military doesn't seem to take any action until after a serious tragedy has happened, when they claim they are pursuing the attackers. And we would have loved to have some postmortems done on people who are shot, so that we see the bullets that are used on them, where these bullets come from. Because the uniforms which the UPDF uses is the very same uniform which this so-called LRA uses. And even the ammunition, the supplies, the guns, the machines. And why should these commanders be so much in a hurry to bury dead people rather than be available to protect people when they're alive or pursue enemies?
Well, you're talking about burying the dead people. Has this happened at Barlogne, that the dead bodies were hurriedly buried?
Yeah, in fact, when these people died, people were really grieved. Soldiers came, they began throwing the houses, the walls, on people to bury people, and they were very concerned about people being very quickly buried. They didn't want people even to talk about the number. In fact, there are situations where the commanders of the army are saying only 80 people were killed. When the people rushed to the scene, I would have run myself, but we were in a mass together with the Bishop of Lukami of Lango Diocese, so I couldn't go. But people, when they counted, there were 100, and at that time it was 175, later on 193, but they don't want people to talk about these numbers.
Why is the military behaving in such a strange way? I thought that the dead bodies would have been left as a physical evidence of a crime committed. Why did they hurry to bury the bodies?
This is the question we are asking them. Why should they hurry to bury the dead body? Why should they reduce the number of people who are dead? Why should they say only 10 people are dead or only 20 people are dead? It's a human being only. One person dead is a very precious person in a serious nation.
And what?
The death of one citizen requires the whole nation getting involved.
And what response did you get from the army to this question?
Certainly, they keep on promising a better future, you know, a better strategy. Such and such a day, the thing would be history. And we are tired of such empty promises. We don't even want to hear it from them anymore.
Well, is it by coincidence that the Abia massacre occurred on the same day when Dictator Museveni is said to have already come to camp in Lango at around Otuke also?
In fact, he could even be around now or tomorrow. Wherever he comes is really not the issue. The situation is that the army has no effective operation on the ground, and people are extremely insecure. That is a matter of fact. It doesn't matter whether President Museveni stays in Lira or... It doesn't matter.
Well,
when he's in a place, all the army seems to come and protect him and leave people unprotected.
Now, there is something which is very disturbing me. Because when this massacre occurred in the last 4 weeks, we have gone to conclusions. I've seen from most international press reporting that the LRAs have committed the massacre at Abia and now at Barlogne. As I spoke now to people at home since I got this news yesterday and today again, and today I've spoken to 3 different people, and they keep telling me that they have reasons to believe that these were not the LRA, that they may have come from some forces who are running a covert operation in East Lango, camped somewhere around Gulgoy. What is your comment about this?
If you remember, sometimes earlier, maybe 2 months ago when you interviewed me, I said, we do not know who is killing us. Because LRA and UPDF are wearing exactly the same uniforms. And if anything,
there is a government in Uganda that should protect the people of Uganda and their properties. So people who killed us could be LRA, could be government forces. In fact, there could also be some kind of revenge claiming on the killing and massacres that were done in Nuero. And yet we also know that even then, in Nuero, the rebels of the day at times pretended to be government and killed the local people and blamed the government of the day for it. The same thing is likely to be happening now when so-called government pretends to be rebel, kills people, and says rebel has done it. In fact, as a matter of fact, there is no government of the Republic of Uganda in control of Lira and other regions within this area.
What is the general mood of the people, Vikachu?
Extremely bad. If my mood as a pastor is bad, what do you expect of the people? People are very rightly bitter. Government has failed us completely. There is a vacuum of power in this nation, in our region. There's a state of anarchy. People are restless. They are bitter. In fact, we are only trying to encourage them to be calm.
Well, I got a mail from Lira, from one of the youth in Lira, who wrote to me that he fears that the attack at Barlonyo and that of Abia is intended to instigate to fire up the Lango so that the Lango may go and fight against the LRA and ends a tribal war should ensue between Choli and the Lango. What is your view about this observation?
Unless disapproved, I would not doubt.
Well, earlier today, an LRA commander, Brigadier Sam Kolo, called us on a satellite phone line from somewhere in Kitgum, northern Uganda, to talk about the atrocity.
I would like to make this information known to all Ugandans clearly that the Lord's Resistance Army did not massacre anybody in Barlonyo camp in Lira district on the 21st February year 2004. The truth is that the combined forces of Ugandan People's Defense Forces and the Rhino Forces, the local militia, came at around 5 p.m. and attack our position in Ugusa County. We repulsed them and chased them up to the barracks at Barlonyo, where we destroyed the barracks, killed several of them, and captured many military lightwares. The civilians who died or got killed during the crossfire between the UPDF, the Rhino, and the NRA. Therefore, I would like to make it known to you that it was not the NRA who did the massacre, and you cannot blame or accuse the Lord's Resistance Army for the death of these people.
Mr. Kolo, that just doesn't ring true, because we've got eyewitnesses there in Barlonyo who are saying that you people overwhelmed the Rhino militia and you attacked these innocent civilians, massacring nearly 200 of them, and you are saying they died in crossfire.
You must know, get this point very clear today and forever, that it is public knowledge that in Uganda, Museveni has supplied guns to all his supporters in the northern and eastern part of Uganda. It is public knowledge that the civilians who are dying in camps today were forced to live in the camps by Museveni and are being used as human thieves. And yet, you, the BBC, and the British government are always quiet about what is happening in the north or northern or in the eastern part of Uganda. You must know that these people you claim that you have massacred them are our parents, our sisters, our uncles, and there is no way for me or for the Lord's Resistance Army to go and attack these civilians.